I'm excited to be in San Angelo, Texas today, visiting with Mayor Tom Thompson and learning more about what's going on in San Angelo. Mayor Tom, how are you today?
I'm absolutely fabulous. It's a good day. We've got an early spring, which kind of scares us about what heat it's going to bring in, you know, April, May, June, and July. But it's a wonderful time out here. Angelo's got a lot of things going, a lot of momentum at this time.
Well, I always like to start with, what drove you to become mayor of San Angelo?
I have a bad little nickname they give me. They call me Short Story Long, but I had worked at San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo for about 10 years. A gentleman I knew there was in charge of the single member district that the rodeo lies within on the north end of San Angelo. He talked to me and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? And I had done some volunteer work with nonprofits and the Civic Events Board, and ran for city council in 2017, unopposed that first time, so I had a four-year term. Ran again 4 years later. Ran against two individuals, and they were awesome. I mean, it made me feel good, because no matter what the election was, the single-member District 2 in a lot of city of San Angelo was good. I termed out last May, so I could either back away from politics or I could run for mayor. Ran for mayor. I think there were five or six of us running, and when it came time to vote, I think there was five of us on the ballot. And I got through with 51.45%, so I will tell you, every vote counts, and we were happy not to go to a runoff. But the opponents that are running are still very good friends. I mean, they're committed to the city. And what's neat is you get to be mayor of a city that has so many people that are looking for progress. They're looking to help out. It's a can-do city. It's not there's not a lot of hesitancy here. People are ready and willing to make the investment to move forward. And it's cool to be a mayor for a city like that.
Well, it's great to hear that you have that background and that understanding before getting into the mayor role. But now as mayor, what are you excited to accomplish while you're in the office?
You know, it all boils down to, in a nutshell, it all boils down to having enough money to move your city forward. There's housing, there are things that the market decides, then there are things that the city helps facilitate. But when you look at it, your economic development really subsidizes all the improvements that move your city forward. We've got a very strong economic development group here that works with our chamber. They are kind of the fishermen that kind of bring people in. Once somebody comes in and get interested, then we bring them into our economic development group with our city staff. And they work on developing programs. Most of those are performance-based. So you have to complete what you say you're going to do before you get the incentives on the end of it.
Right.
You know, we've got some manufacturing, we've got a rail port, our airport is just starting to take off, we've got an ASU flight program. We're looking at a potential data center about 3.5-4 miles out of town. The tax revenue those things provide, as isolated and as far out and away from the community as they are, sure helps. It'll be long past my terms, but it's sure going to help the future of the city. There's no other way you can bring in or double your revenue without the increased demand on infrastructure and public safety other than a data center, in my opinion, right now. So it's a hotbed, but I think the economic development of San Angelo is sure looking good for the next 4, 8, 12, 16 years.
Yeah, and that's an interesting conversation around data centers, because it is a hot topic for voters. They see it as a threat somehow, in some instances, or they see it as an opportunity. But it sounds like you see it as a revenue opportunity for the city. And that's exciting, because that does offset property taxes and other expenses when you can bring that economic development to bear.
Well, you know, property taxes is I would say it's a politician's game. All right. Nobody likes paying taxes. And every time there's an election, everybody goes to, you know, I want to cut your taxes. You know, we're going to cut them. I see state representatives do it. You know, they talk about irresponsible taxation. I see local tax base. You know, people talk about, well, the number of nonprofits we have sure decreases the amount of available funds. I mean, you want your tax base to be broad and thin, all right? And the more you can spread it out across responsible parties, the better it is on everybody. I mean, we'd all love to lower our tax base. A data center, just the revenue, I mean, those things come in and they're worth $7, $8, $10, $12 billion. Well, take your city tax rate, which is 0.007554, multiply it times 12 billion, 7 billion, that's a real big number every year. I mean, just the present value at half of what we're thinking it's worth changes $400 to $600 million over 10 years. What could your city do with that amount of money? Green space, parks, roads. You know, I can't think of a city in Texas that doesn't have an antiquated or aging infrastructure with their water system. Uri, I mean, you and I spoke a little bit about that. When Uri came through, it kind of opened our eyes about how far we are behind and what steps we probably should have been taking the past 20, 30 years, and we just didn't. But in the end, you look at economic development, we look at a data center. I certainly do, and I've met with them. There's a difference between the data centers now, a third-generation data center, and the first one. And there are 380 agreements that you put in place, and the city really gets to define how you get to build it and to what standard. A lot of people talk about water. I mean, these things now, they don't use enough water to make a large current concern. It is a hot topic that people bring up, but now they use closed-loop systems. They use immersion cooling. You could almost supply a lot of the data centers that are being built now with a water truck, all right? They throw it into a closed system like a radiator, and it goes. Electricity, I mean, these things are going to be built all over the U.S. Whether you like it or not, you can build one where you get the tax revenue, or you can watch one right over the fence be built and not get the tax revenue.
Well, and I think a lot of people look at it, too, and say, oh, it should bring more jobs. It doesn't bring enough jobs. But I think jobs is a missed metric on what it does because of the revenue intake, and that does provide jobs. It provides the infrastructure jobs around more roads being repaired, et cetera. It provides other opportunities for jobs that aren't necessarily the data center itself.
Right. I mean, I listen to some data center podcasts. You try to educate your system, and, you know, unfortunately, we get to a position where we think we know a lot about it, but we don't know enough to know that we really don't know what we
right.
should. I mean, we get in that little spot of thinking we're an expert on it. And I have bought data center books that are 700 pages deep. By the time you read them, you're like going, "Man, I don't care if that was the third, fourth, fifth edition. It's already out of context." Those things develop jobs. The biggest pain, I think, in a data center will be your growing pains of your construction. We've got one up the road in Abilene, but you're right. I think some of the data that they talk about, for every one data center, you create six other businesses that will develop and grow and sustain themselves long, you know, by far further than the data centers into construction.
Well, and I appreciate you mentioning the General Aviation Airport as well, because that is a lost economic beacon in many communities. They build over it, or they don't see the value, or they don't like the noise of large planes coming in. But in a community like San Angelo, I imagine your airport can be a huge hub for commerce if it isn't already.
We're going to go down that path, but if you want to look at economic development, and may touch that on it, Justin, our Angelo State University, the ASU flight program, has started. I don't know how many diamond airplanes there, which was a type of airplane, but the GAA part of an airport has just expanded out there. We would love to have a parallel runway. I myself have a private pilot's license. I've got an old Beater 172 that's the same age as I am, and so I enjoy to go flying. I like flying with a bunch of the college kids, but your airport is economic development. When it boils down to it, and I steal this from the previous mayor, it's planes, trains, and automobiles. You know, we've got our trains and automobiles working. We're on a porch to planes and I-14 corridor. In a matter of years, we're going to have I-27, I-14, 67, and 277. A confluence of all of those are eventually going to come through San Angelo, so that's great. So the leg, you know, you kind of want to have a stool with several legs on it and a cluster, and a good part of that cluster can always be your airport. And you could throw in a couple parallel runways. We've got, I think, over 320 days of flying weather a year. So instruction has always been great out here. The Canadian Air Force sends their training pilots down here twice a year, usually once in November, and then sometimes in February or March, just because the weather in Canada is limiting when you're trying to do IFR procedures. Here in San Angelo, you don't have those obstacles. And the economic impact when you bring in, you know, contingency of 40, 50, 60 people that are here for 3 weeks, hotels, restaurants, your airport can help facilitate that. You always want to have a commuter airline in there. We would love to have two or three, but we just sustain one right now. With the development of a data center and the economic, I'd say, expansion above that, will help grow our airport. So we have an FAA-funded airport, and you know it sustains itself. We're working on a new taxiway. We're working on putting in 12 new hangars. We're discussing ground leases, lots of things that an airport can sure help you thrive, and it makes business with your city easy. If you can fly in and fly out in a day, you can fly in. It's easy in and easy out. That helps you grow a lot.
Now, you mentioned ports to planes, and I've seen that program in some of my conversations in the past, but I imagine for places like San Angelo, that's a big opportunity.
It's huge. It's huge. And I'll concede back to, you know, we had a previous mayor, Alvin New, and then Brenda Gunner and Dwayne Morrison. All of them worked on helping maintain that San Angelo would stay on our ports to planes corridor and come up 87. San Angelo's the largest town in Texas without an interstate, okay, currently. Oh. Eventually, we're going to solve that. And I have watched small towns fade and disappear because commerce passed them by. We're not going to let that happen. I'm a treasurer on the Ports to Plains board. Just finished up their January statement. They're in a very good financial position to move forward. But that development comes in segments. So a lot of it is campaigning when, you know, with your elected officials. Can we get budgeting allotments? Congressional and Pfluger just allotted some money to help between San Angelo and Sonora, the feasibility study. So you got to always take a small win where you can get one. But the goal is, you know, over the next 20, 30 years to have an interstate that I'd say it's relief for I-35. I don't know if you've ever driven I-35. I'm sure you have. That can be just brutal. To have one that you can move and take a lot of that corridor and move it further west and run it from Mexico to Canada, we would certainly benefit from being on that corridor.
I think the best way to drive I-35 is in that 172 you were talking about.
Yeah, it is. Mine's so slow, sometimes I see those people pass me on the ground. But regardless, yes, I-35 can... It can just be, it just amazes me how much traffic is on that. But if you sit back and look at from a helicopter of 30,000 feet view, what happens if there's a problem and that stops?
Right.
I-35, if you have something that stops that, regardless of what it is, the entire 120 miles on each side of I-35 becomes a congested nightmare. If you don't have alternative routes, and this is great because people are thinking about that now, I don't want my children or my grandchildren to have to worry about that. We need to make sure we have a good pathway. And I don't mean anything against I-35. I just think I-35 is so congested, it just becomes difficult. And when you get on that road, there's a lot of heartburn, I'll put it that way, and road rage.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily serve West Texas. It serves north to south. But when you get out, you're talking about 87 up towards San Angelo.
Yes, sir.
That's a whole different population of people heading diagonally out that direction that would benefit from improvements on that highway for sure.
Oh, started. I don't know if you're familiar with a little town at Del Rio, but work around Del Rio up to Sonora. You run up, put a little spur through Midland, Odessa, but hit Lubbock, Amarillo, go where you tie into, you know, I-25, and then you tie some up through western part of Kansas. It just creates a whole nother corridor. You can move a lot of commerce that way, and that's we'll be blessed to be on it. But the growing pains, it's just the patience of the highway. It starts as a two lane, then it goes to, you know, four lane separated, then it goes to a four lane with farm, you know, with, you know, side roads on it and farm to markets that come in and feed it. It's difficult, but it's something we have to be working on now, because if not, it just moves that further and further out. We need to stay on top of it.
Well, and being in West Texas, water is a big conversation for you as well. I've been impressed with the cities across West Texas that have been very intentional about water. How has San Angelo approached it?
So, it's our most precious resource. To us, water is economic development. When you have a big company coming in, they're going to hose, you know, stop a little bit around. They're going to check your hose, check your faucet, and then they're going to say, how good's your water? All right. And if your water supply is not good and solid, then people really say, I don't know if I want to move there. The last thing you do is want to be a city that runs out of water. We basically have two non-adjacent water supplies. We have a Hickory aquifer down around Melvin, and then we've got Lake Ivy that we share with Midland and Abilene. Then we've got some local surface water that comes through the lake here, but we are working on a reclamation project on the Concho River. It'd be great through reclamation if you could get to, I don't think you'll ever get to net zero, but our average consumption here in the city of San Angelo is 14 million gallons a day. Peak in the summer, we'll get up to 18, 19, 21 million gallons a day. And you just hope Lake Ivy catches enough in there. They have, I think as of earlier this week, they had roughly 40 months of supply. And every time you have a rain, like the big rains that came through this summer, you add an extra year of supply. But you don't want to have your whole city dependent upon just an occasional rain. If you can do a reclamation project and knock off 40, 50, 60% of your, you know, daily usage, and that becomes reuse, that is awesome. And I don't understand why more cities aren't doing that. But in San Angelo, I will say that we will never back off of our relentless pursuit of water, protecting our water, and managing our water.
How big is San Angelo today? I mean, it's a beacon in West Texas, but how many people are there?
Well, we call ourselves a little diamond out here that in the rough that a lot of people hadn't seen. We're 100,000 people. I was here, I came here in 85 from Big Spring and watched it grow, and it's worked its way up. And about 10 years ago, I think we got pretty close to hitting that 100,000 mark. And that's a benchmark with commerce. When you get 100,000, you see different restaurants come to town, you see different box stores, and we're right at the cusp of that. We've moved up and down. Our university here at Angelo State reflects that. We've got some people that come in, but we've got Goodfellow Air Force Base out here. I mean, there's roughly 5,000 people out there at Goodfellow. It helps our population. It helps it grow, but we're right there at a static 100,000 right now. With the advent of, you know, economic development, you hope to grow that, but you do it at a very manageable pace. You don't want something that just makes it painful.
Higher education is a big thing today, and I see a lot of kids going to the 35 corridor, going to the universities, but more importantly, I see them leaving Texas in so many ways. How are you retaining that talent in San Angelo? Is there community colleges, other higher education?
Oh, there's lots of higher education in San Angelo. And I'll start off, we have Angelo State University, which I'm a graduate of that. My oldest son got his bachelor's and master's here at ASU. I can't tell you how many people within our community have done here at Angelo State. I think they've gone over 10,000 in total enrollment. It's kind of a nice little fit that if you don't want the pain of living in a big city, San Angelo is a great place to go. We've got a cybersecurity program that goes in there. I'm not doing it justice by how I'm going to say it, but it's one of the most recognized cyber and computer science universities in basically the nation. It's kind of a little diamond in the rough out here. I was on a cybersecurity panel here a while back, and I thought it was kind of funny that they put me on there as the mayor. But as I looked at the goal, it's, how do we work with other people? I mean, how does the city work with the university, work with Goodfellow? You know, the Federal Bureau of Investigations, FBI, just bought some property here. Because of the cyber we have, Goodfellow Air Force Base is an intel base, and they do the training for all branches of the military here. So Howard College also has a campus here. So when you look at all the campuses we have, I don't know of anything you could come here and not pursue. Aviation, agriculture, engineering. There's a big offering right here. And a lot of people have come here that are like, I don't know if my son or my daughter wants to go in the hustle and bustle of a Metroplex. They come here. They say it's a town that feels like 40,000, but it's 100,000. You've got a university. And no matter where you are in Texas, you're about maybe 6 hours away from home at the most. And we have a lot of, you know, exchange students that come in also, especially from South Korea. So I think we have a great higher education that not only goes from post high school, goes all the way through college, master's programs, engineering programs. We just flip them inside and they go out to Goodfellow. And Goodfellow people attend ASU too. A lot of those people are getting their master's while they're here. So the education system in San Angelo is exceptional, but we're not capped yet either. There's a lot of things we're going to work on in the future. And I was just having a text with the president of the college yesterday, and he goes, "How about becoming a smart city?" I'm like, "Dude, I would love to be a smart city, but those things take time and planning. You know, when you put in a street light, you need to be planning. Is it capable? Can I bolt on a sensor to it to where it becomes activated? Can you go to all LED?" There's a lot of things to become a smart city, but we're having those discussions now. And all that basically bases off of, you know, education with ASU and engineering.
Well, I always like to remind people that in a city, comprehensive plans or master plans, however the city's looking at them, are really great guiding documents for those conversations. And if there's a citizen that's interested in it, I imagine you have one of those plans in place, whether that's water, whether it's airport, whatever we've talked about.
Well, a lot of people don't. If you're not in city government, sometimes you don't understand and see these comprehensive plans. We actually put in a comprehensive plan for our property that's to the north and east of Angelo. It's going to be an industrial park, potentially data center, but it needs a comprehensive plan. We just went through a comprehensive plan to look at all of the compensation for our city employees. So planning is huge. We've sat for a while and not done that. This year, with the start of my term, we started 4 or 5 studies just to bring us up to this defines where you're going to go the next 10, 20, 30 years. And you want somebody to come in there and update it every 8 or 9, but those updates are expensive. When you do a comprehensive plan update, you're going to spend a couple $100,000. We don't have a lot of money to waste. We try to be very frugal with it. But if you don't plan and look beyond your skis, a lot of time you'll find yourself on the back end of them.
Well, San Angelo is a beacon in West Texas. I remember as a kid from Del Rio driving to San Angelo for soccer tournaments, but that's the community that is West Texas. Where would you drive people to find more information about San Angelo? And if somebody's coming to visit San Angelo, where would they find more information?
We all start with our local chamber of commerce at stangelo.org. Go in there and I pull the page up, but you can look at events, programs. When you start Googling, it's automatically going to populate, especially if you get within town. They're advertising things that will geofence, that will reach out to you. Our downtown has a river. We're going to spend a lot of time developing our civic events around the river that rolls through town. We're looking actually at a plan and a study right now for a legacy trail. It's a $31 million project that's all privately funded. And they're going to put bronze life-size, actually about 125% life-size statues. And you've seen these in probably Fort Worth and Omaha, and develop our Santa Fe Park area. I mean, when you've got the river and you've got a park on it, it's one of the most key things that people will come to town to see that. But we want interesting things for people to see when they do come to town.
Well, I want to encourage people that are exploring West Texas to keep San Angelo on their tour, because it is a unique city. It's a bigger city in West Texas, but it's a great launching point for everything out west from San Angelo. If you're coming in from Houston, if you're coming out from Dallas, stay the night in San Angelo and then move forward into West Texas is what I would always recommend people.
Okay. You know, and we have it's a top five. I don't know if we're top five yet. I think we're like top five rodeo. You know, in the world, right there here in San Angelo, our own backyard. We have a big rodeo event in October called Rope and Fiesta. Those are huge. Our stock show is huge. We're getting into basically spring and summertime, so we'll have a lot of events down the river. But economic development is growth, and it's entertainment. You know, we want to pursue some things on the youth sports. While we have a complex here, we want to do more in the youth sports because that brings people to town. But when you get them here, you want them to have something to do. So I encourage everybody. San Angelo is a great place to stop. Great hotels. If there's one thing we do, I think, better than anybody, we provide you more places to eat per capita than anywhere I've ever been.
Well, and that's an important thing. It's great to see it continuing to grow and people discovering the beauty and the lifestyle of West Texas that can be found out in San Angelo.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Mayor Thompson, I appreciate your time today. It's been a pleasure to get to know all the things that are happening in San Angelo.
Well, just thank you for doing what you do. It's like I was telling you at the beginning of this. If it wasn't for media, we wouldn't get our word out. It's very important that you help us share what we have. I encourage anybody to come in, but, you know, touch base, go to our website. I can't thank you enough for helping us out the way you do.
Well, thank you so much for your service, the way you're building Texas, and serving your community the way mayors do.
Justin, thank you very much.
Thank you to our sponsor, Chisos Boots, and their damn comfortable cowboy boots.